Hi, Jason.
Hey, Ingolf, how's it going?
I was folio not so well.
that is a good that is a good intro right there, my friend. How is Folio not so well? I like it.
With folio not so well. I still didn't get the get to manage the entitlement process for them for a sunflower platform minimal.
I need to get my platform minimal back up and going with the sunflower versions. I've been distracted with other things since before the break. And now I don't know if you all
Hello,
saw
Shelley.
what was in the TC channel, but it looks like they're going to be replacing Kong soon.
No.
Yeah.
Wait.
I
What?
didn't run anything successfully with Kong yet.
Let's see here. Let me see if I can find the
I mean, I know that they were looking for alternatives, but I didn't see any announcement about what you just said.
There hasn't been a formal announcement yet. The TC is meeting on December 10th to go over what Craig and the FSC teams are proposing. Let me post the links.
Did I miss that? Like, I was just in the TC meeting.
So they're not going to talk about it yet. It's going to be, next week. But Craig posted it in the Tech Council chat yesterday morning, I think is what it was. But here's the corresponding tickets in the Zoom chat here. Oh, hopefully that's not too long. I don't know. Zoom gave me an angry look when it. Oh, not quite long. Okay, yeah, I have 956 out of 1,000 characters with that post. All right, so perfect.
So there must be a channel that I'm not on. I'm on Folio TC internal, but
Oh yeah, it wasn't in that one, although it probably should have been. It's
No.
just the Folio dash tech dash council. It's an open channel.
Oh. See building conference horse bike.
The gist of it is in the last link, API gateway comparison, API 6 versus Glue versus Kong. That's where the main decision point I think is.
What is API 6 and Glue? Are these
They're
gateways?
gateways, yes, that is correct. So they've been
Okay.
POCing various gateways since Kong announced they're no longer going to publish their open source container artifact. So yeah, be at the ATC meeting on the 10th. And Craig is inviting one of the members, I forget which member, to come talk about it, I think. Or he may be talking about it. I'm trying to see.
Oh wow. So is that too easy to replace the gateway now, Eureka?
I don't know. That's a great question, Ingolf.
Well, Nginx ingress is end of life in April or March of 2026, and so there's some document I need to review that our operations person put together about alternatives.
Well, and it's confusing because there's the Nginx maintained one, like Nginx Ingress or whatever it's called. And then there's the other one, which is like Ingress Nginx. And so
Inky.
it, yeah.
What does this have to do with Nginx now?
Well, because we deploy Folio to Kubernetes and we use Nginx, Ingress
For the
Nginx.
ingress. Oh, okay.
And
Yeah,
so we have
same.
ingresses for
Do I
Okapi and
use?
Folio and
So you have to replace your ingresses, rewrite them, and redeploy them.
Well, I think technically the Kubernetes documentation says that gateway is the new type to replace ingress or something like that. But it's at a level in the cluster that I don't set up, so I don't know. So
I think
yeah.
I'm using traffic.
Oh, so you are using. That's one of the things here that our ops person looked into. And then Envoy is another one, but and I think they said
What?
that they liked Envoy better.
Envoy, can you type that, please?
Where's my chat? There it is. On Envoy or
Envoy.
Envoy.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so my fan the they said they prefer Envoy and moving to using gateways instead of ingresses. And that Envoy is less opinionated and helpful.
That's too funny.
That's what
Gateways
they said.
instead
I
of
just
ingress.
quoted. The reason is that Envoy is less opinionated. So I don't know. So we're gonna also be obviously looking into that. Changing ingress, ingress Nginx.
That's a
Yay.
gateway Envoy. Envoy. It's called a gateway.
Yeah. So,
I mean, engine access. What is it? Proxy. It's a web server engine.
right. It's
Yes.
it's a little bit interesting. Nginx can do both, right? It can be an ingress controller and it can be a proxy.
Right. And
So
we're using it for ingress controller and for the proxy or something.
Yeah, that's how we're using it as well. And how I used it when I was at Texas A&M.
Okay.
So.
And there's Julian, just in time to talk about ingresses.
Hello, Julian.
Hello.
Okay, you're using it as an ingress controller, right?
Yes, we
Listen,
use
yeah.
it as an ingress controller and for the proxy or
I
something.
probably always use it as a proxy. Envoy is a gateway, but Kong is a gateway. Why is Envoy also a gateway? This at least when I Google this.
Yeah, Kong also has the controller, ingress controller thing as well. But yeah, I basically, I told our operations person that Folio project is probably, evaluating moving away from Kong, so maybe we don't really want to use Kong's solution. So yeah, they prefer Envoy, but yeah, it's a gateway. We have to define HTTP routes. So I don't know what that. I don't know what that's going to entail in terms of, well, I mean, it entails defining HTTP routes, right, for stuff. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't know what we'll have to do if we to replace Ingress Nginx, but we'll have to do something different.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know ingress controllers for the clusters. You know, you can define that at the cluster level, and the replacement should be pretty seamless with certain things. What I don't know is if you have to migrate all of your ingresses after the fact or not.
So you have to, my ingresses are completely separate. This is traffic, then I would install Envoy, and then I need to redeploy my ingresses. I have five or six ingresses, maybe seven. So that's not such a big deal. I mean, they don't interact with anything. They're not
Yeah.
just when I open something in the browser, interact with the browser, so to speak.
Yeah. We have dozens of ingresses. And
Huh.
same thing when I was at A&M, there were dozens of ingresses. But the manifests should be able to be updated easily depending on your code control. I know a lot of people use GitHub for cluster configuration management. And so in theory, you should be able to push new code relatively easily for swapping the ingress controller out. But we'll see. That's John Malcony and I are going to look at that at some point in the new year. The old ingress controller will not stop working. It will continue to work. It just won't be in any kind of community support. So I know, like when I was working with Dennis and Sasha the other last month on the Bugfest stuff, I think they used Traffic in theirs and it in their rancher environment, and it worked pretty much the same exact way as it did for Nginx with the same kind of ingress definition. So it just spun up traffic pods instead of ingress Nginx pods and stored all of its configuration there. So if Julian's here, I'd like to change the subject and look at
Okay.
this RMB module logging methods that he posted in Slack earlier today. Because I was not aware of the I knew about the module health endpoints and in the Okapi module health endpoints and log level endpoints, but I did not know the RMB module supported any puts to the log level endpoints. And I wanted to ask Julian if that's something brand new that's being proposed, or if this is something that's existed that just hasn't been well propagated.
Well, that exists for a long time, for years, and it's not, well, it's an internal API, so it's not officially reachable via the regular Okapi or Kong paths, so you need to do some direct access to
Gotcha.
the container.
So you have to do it within the cluster or wherever you're running the artifacts. Gotcha. Okay. Because I didn't know that that supported any kind of update for the log level. I know some modules support log level environment variables, not very many. And with the Log4j configurations, what we ended up doing was posting unique Log4j configurations for each module as a config map mounted as a volume, and we got around it. And then the startup command, you'd reference that in the startup module startup command if it's different than the default, which is clunky because you have to do it for all 80 whatever backend modules, but it does work. There's some modules that we didn't bother doing that with just because they weren't noisy to begin with. So I don't think we did it for any of the Go modules, which I think is mod reporting and mod GraphQL. But all of this in the Spring ones, what we found was, the Log4j ones for RMB were all the same, but the Spring boot modules, there's two different flavors depending on the framework. The Grails framework, for example, has a completely different kind of Log4j configuration than the other standard ones. And that was fun to figure out. I was on that project for Index Data for a few months with Wayne, trying to figure out all that and get some sane way of deploying it. But it looks like this here. I guess my real big question was how does that get saved, Julian? That like it's just whenever the container runs, it just puts it there and it sets it at that runtime. So if it gets killed, like OOM killed or something like that by Kubernetes, it'll just do the put again when it respins.
Yeah, it's that what you send in the put is in the memory only, so it's not saved. If there are two ways to do the put, the one way is with the cron job. Then if the container restarts, then you need to wait until the cron job runs, and then you get the new log level. And the other way is a startup hook, and that runs at container startup. So that's run by whatever you use, Rancher or Docker Compose, and
Right,
so
but
it
that assumes that those commands will run, right? Like, I don't know if every container image has like wget or something like that, for example. Can we verify that those, like
or
not every container is, certain shell environments. I guess for RMB, they might be all the same shell environments inside and
more
have the same packages like wget and everything.
all Java containers are based on Alpine, and that has a busybox, and the busybox has a wget that,
Okay.
and the parameters are the supported one. So I tried that, so this works for all RMB and Spring-based modules.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Hopefully that won't change. Well, hopefully Alpine still is going to be a distro.
So where, yeah. So, sorry, where would you put the post-start lifecycle hook in your deployment? I'm confused. Like, so we're not talking about like deploying in a Knit container or anything like that runs this? No, because the module would have to be up and running in order for this command to work. So
Right. I think in the Kubernetes spec, it's in like the command section.
what
That
do you
in
mean?
it in and there there's a command definition in the container spec that when the container spins up, it'll run whatever's in that command section. And I think that's where it would live, if I'm not mistaken, but I might be mistaken. Because
Okay.
it's just a shell command, right, Julian?
Yeah. So like when you say in the Kubernetes spec, you mean like in the Helm chart under like spec
Container
template.
spec. Yeah,
Okay.
somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it I'd have to look at the charts that, yeah. Okay. Interesting. And this would work for all of them? All the modules, or only RMB based modules,
This is for RMB based modules.
or only RMB based modules? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the rest of the ones, the Spring and then the Grails, which is also, I guess, Spring. There used to be a way to define a YAML file definition for the logging for those, but when they moved to log4j, I don't think that worked anymore. And now it uses the specific log4j configuration, and that's not exposed into any environment that you can change a variable on. That's just it's a configuration file.
So, I wonder about you, Jason. You mentioned like the log configuration is different for a lot of them. So I guess what I've noticed is like some of the logs in the modules sometimes they don't have the information I'm looking for, like the request ID or the user ID that the user that initiated the original request. Like I think mod data import, for example, doesn't, it just has empty square brackets for where I would expect to see the user ID of the original request. And I'm not sure why what happened in the setting somewhere or in our deployment for like why that, like some of them will have that information and some of them won't. They'll just have like empty square brackets.
Yeah, are you defining a log4j configuration for those, or are you just using the default?
I don't I'll have to look right now.
Because
I don't recall.
there's a pattern that the module uses, for date and time and request ID and all of that. And some of those modules we saw just don't. They don't have that pattern that you can set. They don't have a request ID pattern. So it just is blank. And I don't know why that's the case. They just didn't decide to log that, period.
Okay,
And they don't
so
map
it
it to
is the
anything.
case that like some of them don't have,
Yeah.
they just don't have that.
They just don't have that. I know it'd be convenient, right?
Yeah.
I will say, since we redeployed everything with, I think we set it like warning and above or something like that, so we could get warn and error and fatal. The log output makes chasing bugs a lot easier now because it's way, way less noisy. But we've had to go back in sometimes and put it into debug mode just for that module to get some more finer logs, verbose logs out. But it is a lot easier to track issues when you just are logging at warn and above, even without a request ID, although the request ID is useful. Cool. Well, thanks, Julian, for that introspection. I'm not very prescriptive on it. Either way, it looks fine to me. We have a Bastion host that we run cron jobs off of for certain things. And if we don't want to do it that way, we have the lifecycle hook. It would be nice if the modules exposed the log4j levels as some kind of environment variable to the module, where you could just, env log level equals whatever, like other distros, but that is what it is.
You could do a cron job in your cluster.
Yeah, the Kubernetes crons. Yeah, we have a couple of those that run in the cluster, but we have other more global configurations, I guess, that reach out to multiple clusters, and we just have them in one place with the appropriate what am I thinking of? The kube config.
So we have some crons that we run in our cluster. Actually, we're not running them right now. We have them turned off, but we have played with the idea of like restarting all of the Oh no, actually we do have it running. Restarting all of the like SRS stuff and like data import type things because we still have this issue of mod source record storage times out for data import, or it's usually yeah, it's on a it's when somebody is doing a data import, or it's not I don't think it happens when they're like editing a MARC record using QuickMark. It's norm it usually happens when they're like trying to import a record from OCLC and it'll error, and the error ends up being a timeout in mod source record storage. And we just don't have the tools to like trace the network. I suspect like the packet is either it's like getting dropped in the firewall or something between the cluster and our database. But I don't have the tools to like track that and trace it. I don't know what to do to like
I've seen
confirm
that.
that.
I've seen that before, and what I at the time narrowed it down to was Kafka messaging, not flowing properly in
For a time. So like what I see is that it'll be like a get request to source record storage to get the record or to put the record. And source record storage will just time out. It'll say
Oh,
operation
okay.
timed out.
At a get request. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily like I
An
don't think
update.
it's Kafka at this point. And we look at the memory usage and CPU for mod source record storage, and it seems fine. Right, it doesn't look like that's the problem, and I just don't know. I don't understand, and it's the only one that does that. It like if it were like the modules running in the cluster are hitting like the firewall is like dropping packets. Like, wouldn't it be more prevalent? Like, it wouldn't just be mod source record storage. I don't know. It's just this problem that we've had since upgrading to Kesnelia and upgrading to Postgres 16.
I
And
know. I know in RMB modules and in other modules, there's a database timeout configuration. I think we had to up that not too long ago. Let me see if I can find out what we used.
We have that set to the default. Or actually, okay, we played around with that setting, the like query timeout,
Yes,
query
exactly.
DB timeout, or something like that. I'm trying to look here. So I've tried setting that to like 5 minutes. Because if it's not getting a response in 5 minutes, it's timing out. But the Okapi it doesn't time out until 15 minutes, and I think it's because of the Okapi timeout setting or something.
Oh, okay. The gateway is timing it out. Yeah. Before or after, depending on what it's configured to.
Yeah. And let's see, we have max request size as an environment variable that we've also increased. It's an undocumented environment variable that Josh found. So yeah, I don't know.
You said Quisnelia, right? Let me
It's
look at.
yeah, it's happened, and it's still happening on it still occurs in Ramsons. So, and nobody else has this problem, so it's like something with our infrastructure.
So we're doing We're doing we upped the pool size, the connection pool size for source record manager and source record storage. And we upped our database pool size to 30. For source record storage, we did the connection DB underscore connection underscore timeout. We set that to 40. And then for source record manager, we did a DB underscore explain underscore query underscore threshold, and we set that to 300,000.
What is the environment variable?
I'll post it in the Zoom chat here. This is for source record manager for Quisnelia. It won't have the spacing right, I don't think, but let me see. I can make it line up a little bit.
Yeah, like I don't see a problem with Source Record Manager, but
Yeah,
yeah,
but I
the
mean, it's
explain
fronting
query
the,
threshold.
it fronts the, because it still connects to the database. So it fronts the business logic. And so I guess we were hitting issues where they were doing these queries and it was just taking, it was putting such a load on the database. It was timing out those schemas in the database for those modules. And then our pool size we set to 40 for both, I think. Or 30 for both, because I think the default's like 20 or something like that.
So I'm just looking. We have 10 for Source Record Manager, and I'm wondering why we have it at 10. And Source Record Storage, 25, but it's a total of 50 because we run two of SRS.
Yeah, we've run it
So.
scaled out. We run, I think I run three of each manager and SRS or SRM. Yeah, three manager, three storage.
Well, you're on. You can't run. This is not for Quesnelia Source Record Manager, right?
No, it is. I'm looking at it right here. Yeah.
Because I thought that you can't run more than one source record manager.
I believe they fixed that. We're running version 3.8.7 for manager Quisnelia, and for storage Quisnelia, it's 5.8.11. Yeah, 5.8.11. And I've got two tenants where we're doing that for, not two tenants, two environments that are multi-tenant. Because they were getting some data import slowness. And so far, they've been testing this for several months now. So far, we haven't had an issue. I'm trying to see if anybody else I'm doing that for.
I think we're scaling. We'll be upgrading to Ramsons. Our production environment in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, yeah, December upgrades. Woo.
And I'm waiting for CSP9 to come out because there's a it's supposed to include some issue that's backported to fix the ERM module federation locking that always happens. And we haven't had this problem in production yet, but on our stage environment, our database was constantly getting TCL transactions, type SQL queries. I'm like, what's a TCL? It's basically like rollbacks were happening constantly on our stage environment. And I went and looked, and it was mod service interaction, was trying to do its health check to like, if you look at the tables that these ERM modules create in the database, they have they like keep track of the instance of the module that it's running. And those instances that are running in your cluster are like pinging the database to like say I'm still here or something like that. And I don't know. It was looking for an ID that does didn't exist anymore in the table. I don't know why it didn't exist anymore. And so it kept doing this commit and then rollback, commit and rollback over and over, like millions of transactions. 5 million plus trans of these transactions were happening.
Yikes.
And I don't know. So I had to do the thing of like, bring down the module, truncate the table, bring the module back up again. But then it was, you still see some of these rollback transactions happening, but it looked like business as normal.
Yeah, and I've seen the lock. There's a Fed lock table where it's true or false, and I've seen it stick there also where it's not, not supposed to be locked. And we've even got a playbook that we run when we do a clone or whatever to staging or test, where it goes and spins the modules down on the cluster, and then it deletes the lock out of the database and spins it back up. By hand, it's stupid, but it works. Yeah, CSP9, yeah, is supposed to fix that. I cannot wait because we have it's really bad in a multi-tenant environment, where things, especially if you're running more than one version of Folio in that same environment, it gets really, really bad. We've had to do the table stuff in Postgres and then spin up Quisnelia's modules, for mod service interaction and mod serials management and all that other, the other two Spring Grails ones. And then when they're finally up and healthy, then we can spin the Ramsons ones up and wait. Doing them both at the same time, we've seen issues with that.
Yeah, I guess I just, I'm kind of at the point where it's like, why did they do this? There must be like, what is the design behind having these like system-wide tables for
Yeah,
these like health check things? Like, why is that the way that they're doing these health checks to see that the modules can connect to the database?
right. They were at the time, like when this first started, they were doing Liquibase database upgrades in place to keep track of the schemas. And so it would do a table health check first to make sure that everything was sane with the module. Then it would do the Liquibase migration. If it needed one, I think it would do a check anyways, even if it didn't need one. And then it would, proceed to spin up and have its access. But I think over the years, there's been issues with certain Liquibase operations, and they've had to do different kinds of checking. And then they put some of this in place to kind of mitigate some of the locks from the Liquibase migration, and that ended up causing a whole other set of lock issues. So,
I guess, like, why are there random Liquibase migrations happening? Or, like, that would happen when you upgrade, right?
and
Like,
yeah,
you
they
do a
just do it.
database migration when you're upgrading the module. So, like, I don't.
Yeah, I think they just do it. They just do a check every time they spin up, to make sure the data is sane before it can operate on it. And so I think that's where it bites us.
Okay. I guess I could kind of I see why they would do that. It sure is annoying when it doesn't work.
I mean, it was a design choice for sure with the Grail stuff.
So,
They're
yes,
also very memory heavy.
But so CSP9, it says it's supposed to be released December 1st and it's not yet, so I'm
Well,
just
and the
waiting.
CSP8 was just earlier last month, right? Like November 4th or something like that.
So I think in the next few days we'll get CSP9, but I hope it's before we plan our production upgrade. 'Cause, yeah.
Yeah, the good thing is with the Grail stuff, I mean, you can plop those down as soon as you can, you know, and enable them. They're not, because it's not going to change any UI dependency issues. So even if you upgrade to Ramsons and then they release the CSP9 right after that, you could choose just to enable those Grails modules for your tenant and spin them up in your Kubernetes environment, and you should be totally fine.
We haven't that we don't have a we don't have a repeatable documented process
That's
for
fair.
just doing one-off upgrades. So yeah.
That's fair. I mean, even if you really, I mean, I don't recommend this in production, but I sometimes in when I'm testing stuff and I don't want to mess with what's enabled for the tenant, I'll just change the tag and what's deployed on the cluster and pull the new one in and just see if it fixes the bug first. You know, like if I know what the bug is, you know, if it's doing some database thing or if it's some crash, you know, in the module for whatever reason, I will just change the tag, don't mess with the tenant, and say, yeah, okay, that's fixed, and then do it formally. So there's always ways around that. You just can't go back as easy after it's touched the database. But it's definitely worth a look in your staging if when they release those. I don't even know if the I don't know what versions they're releasing that as either. I'm sure I can find that information on the board, because I'm sure, I think Ethan said those updates were published now. They were built artifacts.
So we tried to cobble together a CSP9 install JSON file, and Josh yesterday was trying to upgrade our stage environment to that and discovered that some of the they're not on Docker Hub yet, the images.
Oh, okay. So they haven't been published. Gotcha. Yeah,
Can I change the topic?
sure, Ingolf. Yeah, sorry. We
Sorry.
kind of got down into the weeds.
I have the same problem as Shelly describes. Actually, Shelly's comments are always the most valuable.
Are they? What's the problem?
Your comment of December 1st, yesterday, the day before yesterday, let me show you. I thought I had something different, but it's exactly that. We have warning message. So when I do entitlement for something, platform complete or platform minimal, we discovered we had to pass Java options. I just did that. We also found that system users weren't getting created in Keycloak. We ended up creating mod users Keycloak and mod users in Vault and Keycloak. So far I was of this stand of the position everything is created in Vault automatically, but it's not the case. So now when I do my entitlement, I just did that while you were talking. Sorry. So it fails, and I look at the log of mod users Keycloak, and it says attribute mod users Keycloak not set for Eureka testing HPZ test. Attribute mod users Keycloak not set for Eureka testing HPZ test. So what is this? Is this Vault or Keycloak? Question answer is this is Vault. Because Vault is Eureka testing HPZ test. This is my Vault. And yeah, it doesn't have mod users Keycloak. So Shelly, how did you create it? Because this has all been created automatically. I've never created anything manually here. This is all, you know, system creates it. What do I put here and how do I create this?
So, firstly, we're not sure if setting the Okapi URL correctly in the deployment would make it so that it gets the process creates the vault
Yeah,
sequence.
you mentioned this here. It's a different thing. One sets it.
So
Yeah.
I don't know if because Josh did this and he had already he went ahead and he created the those users in Vault and Keycloak, and then he found this Okapi URL, and then at that point is like, I'm not going to start over. And
Yeah.
so like I don't know, it might be worth your time to like, did you set Okapi URL in the
Yes.
deployment?
Yeah, I now have
So
the
you have
concrete
that
error
set and
message that this
it
is
doesn't
missing here.
matter.
It's very explicit. Attribute mode users keycloak not set for Eureka testing in secret store. So.
Right, but in your mod users keycloak deployment,
Yeah.
are you setting Okapi URL environment variable?
I think so. Yes, I think so. Because I did that first, but because you told me earlier, it's the deployment.
Yeah.
Can one search here?
I'm not sure.
I'm trying to
I'm
see what
not
I'm
sure
doing
either.
or what I did do because I can't, honest to God, I can't remember. I want to say I set that in one of the secrets in the cluster, but I'm looking now. And that was just Okapi URL, yeah.
Yeah, because it's hard coded to.
I'm pretty
We had
sure I
it
did
with.
that.
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Yeah. Okay. So you have that set. But then what are you trying to entitle right now?
Everything. Mod platform minimal.
Okay. Because this module is part of platform minimal. So
Oh.
if you have this Okapi URL set in its deployment and you're trying to entitle at platform minimal, I would think that it should create, mod users keycloak
Yes,
in
but you are
vault.
saying you had to create it. It's very interesting because you're
Yeah,
saying
but
you had
we
to
created
create it
it.
by hand, mod users keycloak, not mod roads keycloak. It works for mod roads keycloak. So
Okay.
what's the difference in mod users keycloak?
Let me look for the instructions about creating the thing in Vault.
So I am passing, I
Yeah,
have a
thank you.
secret that I created in my cluster in advance, just a Kubernetes secret. And in that
Yeah.
secret, I'm setting the Okapi URL.
Okay.
And that Okapi URL, let me see what I'm setting it to for my cluster. Do, do, do,
Yeah, I didn't
do.
do it that
But
way,
this
but
is.
that would be in the what we call common.
Yeah, so my Okapi URL is HTTP colon blah 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 localhost colon 8082. That's the Okapi URL that I'm using. And I'm mounting that secret. I'm providing that secret to the deployments for both mod users keycloak and mod roles keycloak. I just attached that secret to both of them.
Interesting.
And that allowed me to entitle.
So
And
since I did that in the mod roles keycloak, you and the only case can be I didn't do it in mod users keycloak or
yeah,
vice versa.
I don't
Which I
remember
cannot
why I did that at the
elaborate.
time, but I just said forget it. I think I talked to LDR or somebody like that, and they're like, oh yeah, copy URL, it's this hard-coded thing, override it. And I was like, forget it, I will just add that secret. I call it my secret's called Okapi dash credentials.
But I have that, Jason. I have that in both modules.
You do have that in both modules. It's mounted. Let me see. So that's what I did, and that let me entitle. But who that was an older version of the sidecar module and an older version of the actual module themselves. So that's take that with a grain
For
of salt.
the on in the modules key clock or in the sidecar container.
It's so I'm mounting it to the workload. I'm mounting at the deployment level. So I believe it gets into both.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure about this.
Let me look
Let me
at my
see. This is
config.
image.
Because when you give a secret to a deployment and you don't put it down into each individual spec container, both containers in the pod will get that secret. So I didn't do it. I didn't do it further down. I did it for the deployment at the higher level.
That's probably for both because my sidecar doesn't have any end variables, which is unrealistic. So
Let me see if I can export my
probably has the same.
let me see if I can export my YAML here for this. Let's see. Download YAML. Here we go. So like mod roles key cloak, for example, I'll just attach this to the Zoom chat if I can. Let's see. So here's what that YAML looks like. It has all the metadata in there, so apologies in advance. But the secret I'm attaching is called Okapi credentials. And it's in the higher level spec. Because there's two different containers in this whole thing, I think.
This looks like mine, your. Yes, it looks like mine, but it's your file. Yeah, you don't have any end variables in the sidecar. They're all in the module's key code. So probably the same in both containers. Yeah, but Shelley, what you write is interesting because you say you're not sure if having the end var in the first place would have meant the process would have created those. But I don't have the end var in the f no, I haven't cre I didn't create it and it doesn't work. So
Yeah,
so
I
that's probably the proof that you have to create it before, you know.
Right. So you just our instructions are I mean, we're not using it's we're not using the we have command line instructions for creating it, but it's just some random 32 characters. So in Vault, you create the user, the mod user's key cloak, and the password is some random 32 characters, and then you use that same random 32 characters for key cloak.
I
The
see.
password in key cloak.
Interesting. 32 characters. Yeah, I probably have to do with it. Not now, but
Yeah.
offline.
But just the YAML that Jason had shared, under I Ingolf, you said that your sidecars aren't getting environment. It's not listed. Yeah, the environment variables aren't
Yeah, they're
listed.
not listed in the deployment.
But for the sidecars, they are. Like so, the one that Jason shared under containers,
Yeah, containers. It comes
it's a list.
env from a long list, another env, and then image. Oh, and
Yeah, but there's two images
There are two
listed under
images,
that
exactly.
N,
But below
right?
the second image, there are no end bars. They are all after the first image. So it looks like.
Well, they're right above it. The way it's nested
Yeah.
is the image is at the end of the list.
Yeah, it's alphabetical. So the image key, the key, key value, image key is after N. So it makes it look like it, but there are two separate container like specs in that YAML.
And all the
Yeah,
ones for the sidecar
exactly.
are indented further off.
So the not the mod users click to the module, the folio module just have 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 end vars. That's what you mean? Plus those from the secrets, of course.
You know what? I'll just share my screen to hopefully it's shoot.
Yeah,
Okay,
I have to compare that to
is
mine
this big
actually
enough,
again.
the list here?
Oh yeah, thanks, Shelly. Yeah, I see it.
Okay, so like spec template spec containers env. This is the first listing here, is for mod roles key cloak.
Yeah, this is only from the secrets.
And
And this is
then
all
this
for the
is the second
sidecar.
one. And these are the environment variables for the sidecar.
Okay, interesting.
And it's a huge list, and I'm still scrolling, but this is the
An
image. It's
image
for
of
the
the
sidecar.
sidecar.
So that's all I was trying to say is that
Yeah, sure.
this
Thank
huge
you.
list is the environment variables for the folio module sidecar.
I look at my deployment again.
And then it's just that there's two here. It's so long, it's hard to keep track to see that, oh yes, there's two container specs, but there's two container specs. That's
Yeah. And for whatever reason, I added that into roles key cloak and users key cloak, and it let me entitle it after I did that. So, I may just apply that Okapi credentials secret to all of my backend modules at this point. Just blanket it
Yeah,
all.
I have that same
Well,
way, Shelly and Jason. I have only two variables plus secrets for the container and then a long list for the sidecar. So what I need to do is I need to create something in Keycloak, but can you show me where somehow? Let me share it. In Keycloak, not in Vault. I would probably know how to do it in Vault by now. So I have to choose a realm. I know it's this one. And what's next? What do you need to do? A user or what is it? Modules key. Actually, I did this. Ha! I did this. Here, these are manually created. Mod roles key cloak, mod users key cloak, but probably not correct. What do I have to do here? Can I show you the
I
message again?
will click
Attribute mod
on.
users key cloak not set. It doesn't even say it's missing in
Well,
key cloak. It says it's
the
missing in Vault. So what do I have to do in key cloak? Mod users key cloak. Yeah, I did this here.
well, it's missing in Vault, so add it to Vault.
Yeah, but you are saying you created it in Vault and key cloak. Sorry to insist, but so.
Well,
But
I
I
mean,
can.
it wasn't created in, I don't know. The process is totally borked and it didn't create in Vault or Keycloak for us. So look in, do you have mod users Keycloak in Vault?
No, I don't have this.
Well,
Yeah, this is
then, I mean
terminal.
that error message
Yeah,
is
this
true.
is the first thing I have to do. I will try and maybe then it already works. I don't know.
So you have to use the same password that you have for mod users Keycloak in Keycloak database.
Yeah, the same in Keycloak and in Vault. This is why I'm saying, where is it in Keycloak? I can put some 32-digit number here, but where to put it on the other side,
Oh, well,
Yeah, let
go to
me.
Keycloak and click on. I
If
guess
I
click on.
look at this, I don't know what this is an ID. This is an ID, and I found out what this is. This is an ID in Keycloak.
Oh,
This is in, oh no, this is,
It's the entity ID.
Yeah, this is something very strange. Actually, I put a tenant ID here in
Yeah.
sometimes, and it's
Oh no, I
but
wouldn't do that. I think
yeah,
that's
it's wrong,
the
but
unique identifier for the user.
it's something I cannot explain this now. It's something like these IDs here, but each object has an ID in Kong, but it's not Kong. No, I don't know.
Yeah, and what's interesting is like on mine in my key cloak for my Daiku realm, I have a mod roles key cloak user, but I don't have a mod
Yeah. Okay.
a mod roles key cloak
Yeah,
user.
okay.
But I don't have any of those other ones you had. I don't have
Okay.
a mod. I mean,
Mod
yeah, I don't
roles.
have a
But how is
mod
it
user.
I don't know how to configure this, you know? So I click here and then I have attributes, credentials. So what the hell do I have to do here? Tenant name.
Go to credentials. And
Yeah,
then
password,
see.
my password. And here you should put a
I think
32-digit number or what?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't
Very good.
actually know for sure. Or maybe it's show data. That's just a user label for
Yeah, that's
password.
the user label.
So click on, yeah, I this is confusing.
This is just a show. I cannot,
Yeah, of course. You can't do it because it's
can I
so
do a reset
secure.
password maybe? Should I do a reset password? Then I mess up every, but it doesn't work anyway.
What
Ah,
if
okay,
you
maybe here. Maybe here, yeah.
There you go. That must be it.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't know, what is that temporary thing? There was a
Temporary thing.
toggle for temporary. Click on reset password. And then what is
Oh.
the little question mark next to
Oh.
temporary? What is that?
I'll
Oh,
change
well
it.
then maybe
Do it like
toggle that
this.
off. Oh, but you can't say, oh,
Yeah,
well,
but
when you set the
I have to
password.
set up create some MD5 32. I don't know how to do this now. Do it later, but yeah. Okay. Thank you. Hope that will help.
Yeah, if I guess that's where that is. I just have a curl for setting the password. I don't
Oh.
have.
Yeah, I have some tricks to create a MD5 somewhere. I don't remember. I have to look it up. Probably some shell command.
Yeah, let me see. Let me log into my AWS instance and look at the secrets for this, which is in place of the vault, you
Yeah,
know.
can you show us?
Yeah, let me do that real quick and see what I have in there. Give me a second.
I don't think the password doesn't matter other than they have to be the same
Yeah, sure, but
and key
good to know
cloak.
where. You know.
It just seems so like I don't know. I just having to keep these multiple data sources in sync, like which one's the source of truth and
Let's see. What was that? Was that Secrets Manager? What was that that I was doing this in? No,
It's
it wasn't.
probably AWS Secrets Manager. That's the non-vault secret store.
No, was it? I don't think it was Secrets Manager. It was the other one. I think.
Oh no, this creates a password.
Give me a second.
Random password. So I do that now. Linux.
Well, after we finish our ransoms upgrades, we're going to circle back to getting ready for Eureka.
Systems manager, not secrets manager, systems manager. That's what I'm thinking of. Systems manager, parameters, I think parameter store. Yeah, here we go. All right. So on Amazon, let me share my screen real quick and I'll show you what this looks like on Amazon. Do, 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 do. Just top one. Here we go. So ahead of time, before I entitled this system, I created all of these parameters in advance for the system users and the roles, key cloak.
But why did you do that? It's not in the documentation to do.
So I asked in Slack because it wasn't working right. And now I think they updated the documentation, but they said these things need to exist ahead of time. And so I went in here and I made these ahead of time. And it's just set to, I generated a random password or whatever, for like the mod roles key cloak user. And so it uses these, this is what you would put in your vault in advance before you entitle your system. And so there's a whole slew of them that I did.
Can
You
you
can
show that
see.
again? The vault.
Oh yeah. So I mean this is, this would be in your vault. This is AWM's SSM
Yeah, this is
secure
AWS.
systems. Yeah,
Oh, okay. You know that in
but in your
AWS.
vault
Okay.
you would have the
Okay.
names of these things for your vault store. And what it was, that ENV thing that they're getting confused and mixed up with in Eureka. My ENV for this platform is I just named it Eureka Sandbox. But that ENV variable conflicts with all of those Kafka ones, right? So they're in the process of changing that because it was confusing. So my ENV
Yeah,
environment
it is a
variable,
Eureka testing in my case.
is Eureka Sandbox and then underscore, and then you have your master realm, and then you have whatever your tenant realm is. And then you have, for the master realm, you have these things pre-created. And for your tenant, you have these things. I created these things in advance.
Oh yeah, so it says in the documentation for the Kubernetes example deployment. In case of AWS SSM parameters store, create those things.
Yeah.
Must be pre-created manually.
Yeah.
So,
They added that after I figured this out.
like, I read that and I say to myself, oh, so I don't have to do anything. I don't have to pre-create anything in Vault.
Yeah, I don't think that's
No.
right. Yeah, I it's misleading because I think you do actually need to pre-create all of these
But
things in Vault.
so we didn't create any of this stuff in Vault
Okay.
because it created stuff in Vault, but
It did.
apparently it didn't create everything it needed.
Oh, okay. Okay,
You
yeah.
know, like,
So
I don't
the
know.
yeah,
I
y'all
think
can
the jury's still out on whether you
yeah.
really need to do it or.
Y'all can screenshot this if you want, but this is all what I had to have created. And you can see I was testing it out. Like I created some of this stuff way in advance when I first got the realm up,
Right.
the master
And
realm up. And then this other stuff, I was like running into problems. So you see where I created this one later because I was like, oh, it didn't make it,
so
And then the other
this,
one that didn't make it in was this one because I finally got the system user in the system. You know what I mean? To be able to log in.
yeah.
So, but
So
yeah,
this is it.
this one right here did not get created and I had to make it later.
Yeah. I do want to say though that it's different in Vault because in Vault we have a path,
Oh,
and
yeah.
here your path is
It's piped through Amazon's R, ARN or
yeah,
whatever.
you have
Yeah.
underscores, and
Yeah.
for us who are using Vault, we have a master realm and then a tenant realm, like
Yeah.
sort for us.
So that's how it is here. It's
So,
just
like
underscored.
manager
Yeah.
applications and manager tenant entitlements in Vault is under secrets master,
Yeah.
and then the other ones are under secret SQL.
Yeah. So
So
that
you don't
it's just underscored.
necessarily want to put master underscore manager applications under
Right.
your Vault,
Right.
secrets and tenant.
Right. Yeah, it
So,
has to live in the right place in Vault. Yeah, AWS just delineates it by an underscore and then mounts the appropriate resource through the ARN, whereas Vault looks it up through a path. because it has, it's like an external system at that point. Whereas in Amazon, it's all, it's like Kubernetes. Everything is integrated and layered. But yeah, I had to like this, this one I had to create in advance, and I had to have all these master ones in advance. And then
Yeah.
finally, the Daiku one got created when I the actual user. So, but yeah, you in Vault, make sure they're under your path. These are my tenant paths where it says Daiku, and that's my master path. But that's, I figured that out. I had to create this guy in advance because it just would not create. So.
So, but I don't have the others
Yeah, you don't have
either.
mod users keycloak there.
Yeah,
For
it said it
DQ,
didn't
you
need
only
one.
have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that's it's good.
Yeah, I don't know
Maybe
why the
I even have
user's
the
keycloak didn't make
impersonation
it.
client. Never
And I
seen
have a user's keycloak deployment.
it. Is it entitled?
Yeah, this is a platform minimal entitled. But there's my mod user. I mean, you have to have a mod user's keycloak
Yeah.
for, to log in, just anything. You have to have it. So it didn't end up making, now I can't remember.
So is there a mod users keycloak in your keycloak database?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Well, let's just look in keycloak. Nope, there's not.
And you
It's
were able to
you were
entitle
able to entitle this,
platform
but is
minimal.
this Sunflower or what is this?
This
Yeah, what is
was a snapshot version,
Yeah, maybe this is the reason. It doesn't
but
work in
this is an
Sunflower.
old.
The snapshots are newer.
Well, these
The
snapshots are
old one?
older. These ones were back
Oh,
in June,
okay.
is what I was pulling through. Yeah.
Well,
Yeah,
what
this one.
version of User's Keycloak are you running?
Let's see. Here it is. 310 snapshot 158. So it's, yeah, that's pretty old.
310.
317,
So what do we have?
let me see.
And that's for user's keycloak. Yeah. Okay. And I'm trying to see if I set the system user environment variable to
3
anything.
307
Yeah,
is what we have.
307 is a Sunflower version.
Okay. So this is this three. So this is newer.
What do you, yeah, this
Interesting.
is newer, and maybe this is the reason because before I also deployed a snapshot version, which I got from Varseed. It's newer, and maybe they've did some changes, which is the to make it work, you know.
Yeah,
My
okay.
suspicion is it doesn't work in Sunflower, in other words.
Yeah, because this, like I said, this was back in like June, whatever, I'd like 174 days ago, Yeah, June 11th, there
Yeah.
it is.
And we've never tried to do snapshot. We've always just tried to do
Oh,
Rancid and
yeah.
Sunflower. And so we've come across
Yeah.
we have all these
Okay.
problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
but
I,
at some point you have to do Ramses or Sunflower, you know.
right. And I do vaguely remember some parameter about setting a system user to be yay or nay. But yeah, here I'm setting this right here, this secret mod user keycloak system user secret. So I made that in advance. And I put it in here. Let me see what
Well,
I
I
have it.
know the Folio Helm v2 charts, when you deploy those straight up, it creates those secrets,
Okay.
in those Kubernetes
Oh yeah,
secrets.
it just runs a yeah, a bunch of
It creates
k8s
those.
commands. Yeah.
And I think it depends on, yes, these flags here of
Yeah.
anyway.
Yeah, so I have it right here, like what Shelley, what you were saying earlier in your
Yeah.
Slack message, system user enabled. I have it set to false.
Yeah.
And I was
Yeah,
allowed to
this was one
entitle.
is I did this
So
all this too. Set it to I don't understand the logic. Why do I have to set system user enabled to false when it has a system user, but
yeah, so does that mean, is that the reason why it didn't create a
yes.
system user in keycloak
Right.
and
And
AWS?
it won't error out trying to find it because it you really don't need it, I don't think. I don't think you
Folios.
need it because I
Right.
can log into my Folio just fine without it.
But you also
So
said Folio system user enabled. Does one need this? Do you
all
know?
I know is that at this point, our process is so convoluted that it's hard to tell like what what we did resulted in success.
Yeah. And I'm trying to get
I'm
this.
trying to keep track of this.
Yeah, I'm trying to get this new version, that they've pushed out with CSP3 or whatever up and going for a minimal, right? Just for a minimal, like forget getting the full platform. But I'm not going to blow away this namespace and environment because God bless it if I could ever repeat this again in my life.
Yes, it would be interesting if that will work, Jason. This is the CSP3, so
So that
yeah, again.
I'm just putting that out there that this namespace in here will stay around forever because I got it to work once.
The throwing stuff at the wall strategy.
Mean, I went back and
See what
forth with
sticks.
those guys for a long time trying to figure this part out, and I was like, guys, it will not, it's just not doing it. And they're like, well, try setting it all to false. And then, they gave me those versions to use of like the 3.1.0 stuff. So you can see a lot of these, I don't know what like mod, settings and all of this. I don't know if these are newer or older than what you guys are using.
It's a newer, the snapshot version always newer for Eureka.
Well, okay. I can move this out of the way. There we go. Yeah, I don't know if these are. Let me zoom in a little more. Can I zoom in a little more? There we go. Like so, yeah, through a lot of these, like the schedulers, the tenants, manager tenants. Yeah, what manager applications? What versions are you guys at for that? Because I'm apparently 3.1.0 for all of those.
Three zero five,
Okay, yeah, that is older,
three
yeah.
one eight.
Oh, you have a
Those are
3.1.8? Okay, that sounds way newer.
tenant entitlements is at 318 and tenants is three
Ah,
zero
this
four.
is interesting. I didn't redeploy those. I have 4.00 snapshot, a very new version.
Oh, very new.
Yeah, and I'm trying to deploy Sunflower with it, but it should work. It should be backward compatible,
In theory, yeah. All right,
Yeah, I
let's
didn't
head out.
update them.
It's the wrong button.
I didn't update these three applications for the manager
Yeah.
applications. Maybe I should.
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
I
anyway,
mean,
guys,
downgrade then. Yeah, it's
downgrade.
time.
That's what I know for what it is.
All right.
But yeah,
Okay.
this will all change anyways when we use something else other than Kong, right?
Yeah, it will be change again. Yeah.
Maybe they can fix the Keycloak convoluted business too while they're at it.
All right.
Maybe. That'd be
Yeah,
nice.
we're out of time. Actually, in the meantime, I did redeploy it with the secrets. I don't get the. I think I don't get the error anymore from the sidecar. Yeah, but I still get the same error from.
Module.
Entitlements for
Yeah.
modern manager entitlements.
Yeah, just set those secrets to false for the system user for the mod user's key cloak and respin it, and then re-entitle it and see what happens. I think that's the secret sauce right there.
Could be.
I think I already did that too, but okay, it's
Yeah.
It's
Same
all in
too.
different places. In Okapi, it was all in the Okapi lock. All modules locked in the Okapi lock. And now you have to move from one lock to the other,
Yeah.
Manager
Yeah.
entitlements tells me, oh, there's an error in mod roads key cloak. Then I go into mod roads key cloak. There's nothing. Then I go into mod roads key cloak sidebar. There's something. No, it's gone in mod key cloak, roads key cloak sidebar. Now it's somewhere else. So
Yeah.
I would prefer central lock, but one doesn't have that anymore. So you have to write it yourself with your.
Yeah, so what we do for our production environments is we ship our logs to a central logging
Yeah.
aggregator.
This is what I mean, right? Do this all
Yeah.
yourself.
And that got to be very expensive in CloudWatch.
Oh,
And
okay.
that's when I went through all of the modules and figured out how to make them log less, which was very fun. And to save money because, and then I stopped shipping all dev and test logs in our environments to the log aggregator CloudWatch because, yeah, there was just too much money and not enough benefit. But if you can get a central logging solution up, like a Elasticsearch stack or Elk stack or Log4j dash, whatever it's called. And for a while at A&M, we used Splunk, and then we went to an Elasticsearch solution because it was cheaper. That will help you and save some of your sanity. But then you're going to have to learn a whole new thing, and that's how to type in your query for your logging solution to get all of the right fields out. And that's a whole other can of worms that I hate.
Yeah,
Well, all
Shelley,
right,
you know a
everybody.
lot of this. You from your talk, what was it? How to figure out what the problem is.
Oh, yeah.
Probably
Yeah,
have
we
to
have.
look at that again from Wolfcon.
Yeah, we have Karoot.
Oh,
Oh,
Root,
yeah. That's a good one.
So he could set that up. I don't know how to set it up. Our operations
Oh,
people
okay.
set it up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to wish all of you a
Okay.
happy evening or happy afternoon, depending on your
Yeah,
time
evening.
zone.
Okay, can we meet in 2 weeks? That's the 17th. It's still
That
for
sounds like a
Christmas.
plan.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be around, I think. Let me look. Oh, yeah, look at that. I have all kinds of meetings on the 17th. So,
Oh.
yeah, but this one is on the list. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's in the right time zone. So that works.
Okay.
Okay.
Good luck
Bye.
and
See you in 2 weeks.
happy Eureka-ing.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I'll save the chat log.
Oh, cheers. Yeah, good idea.
So yeah, stay on the. I still stay in the meeting.
Yeah, I haven't left yet till you save it.
Copy. I have to create what the wiki page. Okay, I saved it.
Awesome. All right, Ingolf,
So
have a good
see
one.
you. Bye.
See you.
You.